kill my dog, and I don't think it's bad.
You know what's really sad about this stuff? Is when you come up with one of these twisted songs and you sit there with this look of satisfaction on your face. Like,
well, I was feeling kind of low energy, as you could probably tell, coming into the shower, and I didn't really feel like doing anything, and I'm hitting some kind of circadian trot, so I was really looking for a song that would put me in a better mood.
I think it did.
And Youth Culture Killed My Dog. Yeah. I mean, it just sort of says it all.
That twisted look on your face, like, yeah, you were just like, you just pull something over on somebody. So I have a feeling that... you know, you may have accomplished what you wanted to.
I think part of my problem is that I was thinking about the sun early. You actually had left the building for a while. And I began thinking about the sun, and it began upsetting me.
What?
Well, the sun. I started thinking about the sun.
The sun is going to cease to exist someday?
Well, actually, 28 billion years from now? They're now saying, actually, that for some reason, that they used tree rings to figure this out. But they think that there's been worse, or not worse, that's a qualitative term, but... there's been more sunspot activity in the last 70 years than at any time in the preceding 8,000 years.
How would you use tree rings?
I don't know. I didn't read the article. Because I began thinking about the sun. I became too upset to read any further.
So you think what? You're going to die, basically?
Well, I just think that there's no reasoning with the sun, you know? I mean, if the sun just decides to do something completely, there's nothing you could do about it.
It's just too big.
Yeah, exactly.
Too big and it's too hot.
If there were like a meteorite coming towards us, at least we could shoot rockets at it or something. We could
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis up there with a bunch of oil rig guys.
Right.
There's things we could do. But if the sun, by the time we even knew what the sun was up to, we'd be cooked. We'd be toast.
Mm-hmm.
So I just was thinking about the sun and how awful it is. I'm getting dizzy just thinking about it right now, how awful it is to be as dependent as we are on the sun. Really, I'm sure there are other people who share...
No, I don't think they
do. Or at least who are becoming upset.
No, I doubt it.
Listening to me talk, and I don't mean to upset anyone else. I can't help it.
So, you're upset?
Well, I was upset, and now I'm getting to be upset about it. And just
I'm sorry. Well, you brought it up.
I know. I wish I hadn't. It's just, disturbing. But there's nothing, there's no one you can go to about this. Like, if you don't like something about the sun, who are you going to talk to?
It's not like you can go to the sun advisory board.
You could maybe talk to God. That's about it.
And that's tough these days,
right,
because,
exactly,
as you know...
Get in line.
I'm sorry you're upset.
For God to say, may I help the next person in line?
Yeah, right. Take a number.
Yeah. So, I watched the beginning of the World Series last night, and I realized something. There have been 3 World Series games so far, have there not?
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that all 3 of the people who sung the national anthem have been in rehab? We started out with Aerosmith. No, I think
Martina McBride, but she looked like she's...
Well, didn't she have like an Oxycontin problem?
I'm not sure.
I think she did. I don't know whether she's...
For the sake of this argument, yes, I think you're right.
I think I'm right about this anyway, and if I'm not, please, if you're Martina McBride's lawyers, please don't sue me.
Who's singing tonight? Rush?
Not the band Rush, Rush Limbaugh. Well, James Taylor obviously has been addicted to everything under the sun. There was a way to, you know, abuse maple syrup.
Jumping on
that
sweet baby
now.
James.
But I mean, wasn't he on heroin at one point? I mean, he's been up out with McLean and stuff. I mean, he's fine now, but I mean, he's had kind of a long.
Isn't that like a status thing though? If you can actually go to McLean, it's like a big deal.
Well, maybe we'd have to ask Alex about that. But so there's James Taylor, and then Steve Tyler from Aerosmith.
I don't think there's any chance of that happening.
My understanding is that Aerosmith went to rehab. This sounds like a joke, but it's not. My understanding is that they went together. Yeah, that they actually went to rehab. There's that place in Pennsylvania that's like Hazel Inn. I forget what it's called. But there's a place in Pennsylvania and that they went there as a group. They did like group rehab.
That doesn't seem like a very good idea.
Well, except that, what's the point? Like, if you're in a rock band and you're like traveling with these people all the time and they're, you know, snorting carpet cleaner and stuff like that. And,
right.
You know, what's the point of getting cleaning yourself up and then you're going to go back and hang around with them constantly?
I didn't mean that they shouldn't all get involved with rehab. I meant perhaps they could do it individually as opposed to as a group.
Yeah, maybe. But maybe they thought they were sort of, I don't know. I don't pretend to have much insight into the activities there of Aerosmith. But all I'm saying is I believe that it's true. Now I'm all worried about Martina McBride. But
first it's the sun, now it's Martina McBride.
I'm worried I might have misspoken, but I think it might be true that everybody...
She looked like she'd been in rehab.
Yeah. Well, that's just sort of that country singer look, I think.
Well, they don't all look like that.
I thought she did a reasonably nice job with the national
anthem. She did a good job.
Yeah. in a kind of country kind of way.
I'm concerned about one thing, though. How do they time those jets out so that, you know, they come screaming in just when the end of the anthem is being sung?
I don't know.
Or did they dub that in? You know, you actually didn't see the jets flying over, so maybe they just Fox just dubbed the sound effect in or something.
Yeah.
Didn't seem like you saw anybody looking up at the sky.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's going on.
I don't know.
But no, I just figured since we're worried about trivial things here, not that the sun is necessarily trivial, but what you could do about it is nothing.
Yeah. I'm looking at some country in Western News, so just keep talking about the jets.
Like the jets? Oh, you know, we didn't talk about the fine performance by the Jets this past weekend.
No,
I haven't heard that J-E-T-S, Jets thing much this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess they only do that when they win, perhaps. Mm-hmm. What are you doing now?
Oh, I'm just trying to make sure that I was telling the truth about it. It's hard to tell because maybe it wasn't her. Maybe it wasn't her.
It's somebody else.
I think it might be. Well, is there somebody named Mindy McGrady? Have you ever heard of her?
Yeah.
Yeah, she had an OxyContin problem. Maybe not so much Martina McBride.
Martina McBride didn't have a problem.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I'm still researching this. It was an interesting theory, anyway, after that point.
Yeah, it was good. So, yeah.
Two out of three, anyway. The Boston contingent, anyway. They've been in rehab.
Right.
Usually I do the science news towards the end of the show, and I have some science news to do at the end of the show, but I have some anthropology.
So much science news today. Yeah. We have to start right off the top.
The remains of a tiny and hitherto unknown species of human that lived as recently as 13,000 years ago, which is, when you think about it, not that long ago.
Not at all.
Especially when
you think about the sun.
Discovered on an Indonesian island. The discovery has been heralded as the most important paleoanthropological find for the last 50 years and has radically altered the accepted picture of human evolution. The skull and bones of one adult female and fragments from up to six other specimens were found in the Lingbua limestone caves on Flores Island, which, as you probably know, is at the eastern tip of Java.
I did know that.
Yeah.
Are these the...
Some people put it in Lesser Sunda, but they're wrong.
Right. Are these the ancestors of our esteemed...
Yes, it's Homo salhanius, exactly what they're calling it. Examinations of the remains show that members of the species stood just 1 meter tall and had a brain no bigger than a grapefruit.
Bingo.
Sounds like a family reunion to me. There must have been a land bridge from Java to Simsbury at some point. One of them got over.
Oh.
But it actually is sort of, we thought the skull and mandible was from a child, excavation site director Thomas Sutkina said. And, I mean, the reason that this is kind of exciting is, as Peter Brown from the University of New England, Australia,
Is that the same guy with the windows?
With the windows, yes, same guy. The most remarkable thing, he says, is that there was a time not so long ago when two very different human species walked the planet. In other words, these little people, these little Homo salhanius, 13,000 years ago, as I say, in terms of human history, anthropological history, is not all that long.
Right.
So they would have been they would have been flourishing as a civilization.
Put that Yale education to good use again.
Around the same time as we regular normal Homo sapiens were kind of coming into our own.
Right.
Hey, do you think the fire is going out? You need to build it up, you know, build up the fire.
One meter tall.
Brain.
And a brain no bigger than a grapefruit. And remarkably similar to a grapefruit also. Little segments.
A lot of pulp.
And so a handful of stone tools from the same period were also found in the caves, along with the bones and teeth of several dwarf stegodons, an ancestor of the modern elephant. So they had little tiny elephants to ride around on, too.
So they like a bit like their own circus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Lisa, did you feed the stegodon yet? Did you let the stegodon out? Think it has to go. It's scratching at the door.
All right. done.
That's our show for today. Thanks.
We'll have a report from, our first of many battleground state reports today from the great state of Pennsylvania, where political operative Patty McQueen is in Pittsburgh. You know, really, it's sort of amazing. You realize how horrible it is. It's either really horrible to be in a battleground state or to not be. I can't figure out. As Oscar Wilde would say, there's only one worse thing than being in a battleground state, and that's not being in a battleground state.
I think it's worse not being in a battleground state.
They have, like, Howard Dean and Meg Ryan, and you know, I mean, everybody's there, you know, or they're about to come there or something. Yeah. Like, they got all these sort of interesting people. Just, I mean, you know, it's just cheek-to-jowl celebrities there in Pennsylvania, and we're just sitting here.
But we have the Tommasos.
We have the Tommasos for now, until they get to work on that wall they're going to build.
Oh, the wall. Where's the wall in Mexico?
Mexico. The Texas-Mexico wall, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'd love to talk to you, 522-W, but we have Patty McQueen coming on later. There may be other guests as well. 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC. Friday could be a special day on the show because the pregnant Rebecca Lobo will be joining us.
Really?
Yes.
I wasn't aware of this.
Is
that true, or did you just make that up,
no,
too?
No, she's coming. She's coming. She's
I know she's coming in.
Oh, she's pregnant. Oh, yes, she's pregnant, yes.
But maybe it was one of those Martina McBride things. It was somebody else.
No,
you
no.
just mistook it.
That guy Dalek, Robert Dalek, he's going to be on? Whatever his name is?
Robert Dalek?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The historian guy?
He's a history
He's pregnant,
professor.
Too.
Yeah.
He's going to be on. And
guy.
We might have Zogby on.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Arnie Zogby, not John, unfortunately.
Skip Zogby.
Skip Zogby, yeah. That'll be an interesting day. But we can make today interesting, too, but we need your phone calls. 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC. Particularly, have you seen any of these little Homo salhaniuses in your neighborhood? What's a meter? It's about 3 feet, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But
that's about
tall.
Right.
And remarkably grapefruit-like, cranially speaking.
Yeah, but you wouldn't really know that.
No.
But anyway.
Yeah. If you see one of them balancing a little maraschino cherry on the top of its head, that's another sign.
On November 2nd, you'll go to the poll.
Well, my physical research has persuaded me I was completely wrong about Martina McBride.
Oh, that's too bad.
We've been sober all our life.
Great. Good for her.
Yeah.
Is this the night the lunar eclipse happens?
I think that is correct, the lunar eclipse, yes.
Okay.
You have to look at it through cheese so you can damage your eyes otherwise. Hold up thinly sliced Swiss Lorraine, for example. You can look at it.
Yeah.
Should we talk to Ken?
You shouldn't look directly through the holes, though.
No, not through the holes.
I wouldn't do that.
You can look askance through the holes.
Right.
Yeah.
Ken in a car. Hello, Ken.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Lovely.
Just wanted to know what you guys thought of the theory that's floating around out there that a Red Sox win in the World Series will propel Kerry to sweeping victory. With the love in the air from Boston all the way down to Texas.
What's the basis of that?
He believes in love.
I don't know. That
deserves me. I think you're probably right, actually.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for your call. We don't believe in love. Here's, you know, the thing I'm upset about, in addition to the sun?
Now what?
Look at this recipe. It's in the New Haven Register. It's shepherd's pie, but then the mashed potatoes are made into little...
That is disgusting.
That
is just downright...
Are kind of piled up as little, see, you're upset by it too. It's piled up as like little ghosts, and then they have peas for eyes.
Yes.
So imagine shepherd's pie, but the ground floor of it is sort of the ground beef.
Yeah.
And then the mashed potatoes is sitting, but instead of sort of sitting in a layer, it's in little mounds that look like ghosts.
With little
peas for eyes.
That's lovely. It's a great idea. Someone really went out of their way thinking of that one.
I'm upset by this.
You ought to be upset about it. I think everybody should be angry.
I'm canceling my subscription to the Navy Register. Don't actually have one, but. Nonetheless.
That is, though.
Nothing would really prevent me from calling the New Haven Register and say, because of that shepherd's pie recipe with a little mashed potato ghost on it, I'm canceling my subscription.
If you want to transform any old
Stern call, most people probably know by now, but the chairman of the FCC, this is like the only person you have to be afraid of, basically, if you work in broadcasting, is the FCC, especially its chairman. And... So Howard, who doesn't have to be afraid of the FCC anymore, he's moving over to satellite radio. actually called Michael Powell up while he was on the air on some radio station. And then just began just, you know, engaged in this really sort of ugly little hair-pulling contest with him. Anyway, we'll tell you more about that in just a brief.
The following is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system. WTIC, Hartford.
Well, now.
Well, there you go.
High excitement there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so Howard calls up, Michael Powell is on some, I think it was a radio station in San Francisco. And, yeah, KGOAM. Live radio interview, Michael Powell. And so Howard gets through, Howard Stern gets through, and he says, among other things, he says to Michael Powell, "How did you get your job? It is apparent to most of us in broadcasting that your father got you the job, and then you kind of sit there, and you're the judge, you're the arbiter, you're the one who tells us what we can and can't say on the air. And yet, I really don't even think you're qualified to be head of the commission." It's great what you can say when you're on satellite radio. Then Michael Powell says, "I think it's a cheap shot to say just because my father is famous, I don't belong in my position." Why does he belong in this position? I'm sure there's some reason. I mean, because I think he does a great job.
What does he actually do? Do you really even know that?
As head of the FCC?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what do you mean, what does he actually do? He presides over the FCC.
Well, you just said, "I'm sure he does a great job."
Oh, I'm sure he does a very fine job.
Okay.
Yeah, I really admire and respect this man.
Right.
And then at one point during this 20-minute exchange, Powell says, "I don't think that, you know, we've made any particular crusade of the Howard Stern show or you," he says to Howard Stern. And Howard Stern goes, "Yeah, okay, Michael, that's why I've received the largest fines in history." Now, to be fair about this, Howard does do some of the scummier things. Although I don't think he's as bad as some of the other people that I've heard on the air, because a lot of them are. Opie and Anthony are over on satellite radio too now. So, anyway, it's just sort of an interesting thing. And then it kind of feeds over into another thing. That would be ties everything together, which is in newspaper endorsements of presidential candidates. And I mean, all I want to say about that is, I understand, particularly there's this incredibly peevish editorial in The Current today saying, "The Tribune doesn't make us, the Tribune didn't make us endorse President Bush, and look at all the Tribune papers that endorse Kerry." But most Tribune-owned papers, The Current's owned by the Tribune Company, most Tribune-owned papers have endorsed Kerry, which makes The Current especially stupid. I think they would be better off trying to blame it on the Tribune, to tell you the truth. I don't think they're going in the right direction here at all. I'd say, look, the Tribune made us do it. We didn't want to do it. But no, they want to sort of, you know, be standout stupid. That's all I really have to say about that.
Yeah. And you said it well.
I'm going to get another phone call, though. Our numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC. Should we see what Tom from Shelton?
Yes, I think we will.
Yeah,
I just want to say at this point, I think we're only about 5 minutes away from the next Andy Fleischman commercial.
You know, those commercials, although we're very fond of Andy, we couldn't be fonder of a person than Andy, but we regard them as unnecessary. And not only that, but they don't have any music or anything on them, do they?
You know, we could fix them up for him.
Maybe he should do the Larson thing. He'd fade his voice up and down and stuff like that.
We could
interrupt
take those,
himself. And
we could take those and fix them up for him a little bit.
We could put some good music underneath them. And then they would be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, look, and they're good commercials, and he's a nice person to
He's a great guy.
But, I mean, we already have enough campaign commercials, and if you're running without an opponent, don't clog our airwaves with more commercials, all right? We have too many of them right now. They are, you know, they're basically, they're killing us. So, we love Andy, we're very fond of Andy, but he's not doing us any favor by recording more political commercials right now.
Yeah. I think he didn't want to, he just didn't want to feel left out.
And since you saw him, you had an opportunity to put him in a headlock and make him take his commercial.
Well, I didn't put him in a headlock.
But you could have done that.
Yeah, well, I would have had to have waited in order to get my instructions.
Wait, did somebody else have him in a headlock?
No, I would have had to get my instructions from Mr. Sherwood, who was there telling me every move to make.
Yeah.
Go out there, see him, talk to him, do this. Go, he's out there. Go, do this, do that.
Anyway, you should know that if you bring other political commercials out to our station, we'll be standing outside the station and we'll beat you up. Anyway, at www.thecanoodle.com, you can actually see this thing where Rob Simmons, and by the way, a lot of us get horny when Rob Simmons is talking. Rob Simmons is actually at the podium in the House during the 9/11 Commission Reforms Bill debate. So Rob Simmons is presenting intelligence data at the podium, but behind him you can see Catherine Harris and a fellow congressperson, a person named Rick Renzi from Arizona, and they appear to be exchanging intimacies. They appear to be hanging chads, as it were. Well, no, actually, they seem to be sort of, I mean, they're not like making out or anything, but they're...
Yeah, well, they're just being friendly.
Yeah, well,
the whole thing is probably...
They are, at minimum, as today's New York Post says, at minimum, whispering, giggling, touching, and perhaps appearing to peck the cheek of one another.
Some cheek pecking going on.
Cheek pecking, yeah.
Wow. That's pretty potent stuff.
But actually, the rules of the House do permit cheek pecking, particularly for members of the same party.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can't cross the aisle to peck a cheek, though.
That would be wrong.
You have to ask the sergeant at arms. Florida has contacted the University of Florida has contacted Steve Spurrier to gauge his interest in returning to coach the school's football team. The Florida Secretary of State's office disqualified the first 22,000 black applicants for the job. It's time for Sports à Trois, the very French sports professor segment. Avec Monsieur Ambiro Zio, Monsieur Bruce Stevens, and myself. We got a scandal on air.
This is going swimmingly well so far.
Zach, you remember last week, our despondent we were on Wednesday? Game 7, before we heard the...
this comes from Derek Wine in Stafford Springs, Connecticut.
Yeah, he's using a Derek White wine right about now.
If the
captain doesn't dock tonight, there'll be big problems.
Dear Mr. Ambrosio, over the past few hundred thousand years, humans have greatly increased in intelligence and the size of their... brains. I wonder if all animals show a similar tendency. Are elephants and moths and things like that getting smarter, too?
Moths have bigger brains than elephants. It's that's one of the littlest known facts in all of animal factoids. Moths have bigger brains than elephants.
How can that be?
Well, because, have you ever seen a smart elephant?
Well.
Moths know how to avoid getting hit, for the most part. Most moths live a lot longer because of their sense and their radar, which all has to go with intelligence. But no. Mr. Wine, most animals have less smarts than they had, say, 400 or 500 years ago. In fact, in the 1312 to 1402 era, animals were 12 times smarter than human beings.
As before, no lion left behind.
Not anymore. Moths smarter than elephants. Bruce, pick yourself up. It's embarrassing to see a man of your stature crouched over the console like that. Go Cardinals.
So, well, there's more information pouring in right now about the tiny little people in Indonesia.
More information?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it turns out the National Geographic website has a lot of information about them. Once again, as we open today's show, it's what we could consider to be the big story of the day, really, bigger than the election. The remains of a tiny and hitherto unknown species of human that lived as recently as 13,000 years ago have been discovered on an Indonesian island. And the examination of the remains show members of the species stood just 1 meter. It's a little bit more than 3 feet. You're much better with this kind
around
of
3 feet.
Around 3 feet,
yeah.
About 1 meter tall and had a brain no bigger than a grapefruit. And we are pushing for this species to be called the Homo salhanius, because we actually believe we have one in these little... critters running our radio station here, and they're fun to have around. A handful of stone tools from the same period were also found in the caves, along with the bones and teeth of several dwarf stegodons, an ancestor of the modern elephant. So they had like little tiny elephants to ride around on, which is just so incredibly adorable. He does not have one of those, and you know, Christmas is coming up. I think we should get him a little dwarf elephant.
Absolutely, yeah. I think a collection is...
Yeah. Other animal remains, including rats, bats, fish show signs that they were cooked around the time that Homo sapiens inhabited the caves.
Hey, Lisa, can you make the rice dish with the rats and the bats in it? The Spanish rice with the rats and the bats and the fish? I like that.
So anyway, there's just a lot more information. But, you know, it is kind of, this is an amazing thing. It's, as one, the director of the Human Origins Program at the Natural History Museum in London says, it is totally unexpected. To have early humans on the remote island of Flores is surprising enough. That some are only a meter tall with a chimp-sized brain is even more remarkable.
There you go.
That they were still, that they were here less than 20,000 years ago, and that modern humans must have met them. I guess there's some, there may have been mixers or something. I don't really know. All right, now joining us now with, this may even tie in. We have imps around.
Yep.
JP, the Doomsday Economist, is here to talk about blood on the moon, Red Sox victories, and other alarming portents. It's JP, the Doomsday Economist. Hi.
Just imagine it.
Yeah, okay.
The Red Sox winning the World Series.
Right.
With a blood-red eclipse moon.
Yeah.
High overhead.
Yeah. It's like a made-to-order scenario for you.
Huh?
It's made-to-order for you, right?
I guess so. Scenario. Did we see where the Dow closed today?
And where did it close?
10,002.
Oh, my Lord. They're toying with us.
I don't know, man. Yeah. Uncanny. And the election's next week. Okay?
Right. Your voice sounds a little different. Have you moved to an undisclosed location? Are you, like, in a bunker now?
I'm jumping in my car after work. I'm going straight up to Canada or somewhere.
Yeah.
Well north. Yeah.
No, just get out in the wilderness. With a flashlight that runs on your own urine. That's my advice.
With a special filter.
Yeah. All right.
Looking forward to the history being made.
This isn't quite as scientific as some of your reports. I just see you seem swept up in the moment as opposed to having your usual keen ability to analyze this stuff based on observable data.
The lunar eclipses historically have coincided with their triggers for stock market crashes. As
yeah.
I can point out, the Dow reversal in 10,000 is another thing that would end some sort of crash.
Yeah.
The point is that these crashes sometimes come in the form of historical shock.
Yeah.
So going into the election next week, you know, there's a lot of potential danger there, and it looks like, you know, it might be for real this time. I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
And the Red Sox winning the World Series, well, geez, that's just craziness.
I think eventually we'll be ruled by robots. We have to go. Bye.
Have a good night.
All right.
We have to go. Bye.
Yeah. I have other scientific information and sort of this alarming thing. I meant to bring this up earlier today. There's some an early evidence indicated that this could be a paranoid delusion on my part. I have this feeling.
We haven't had any of those yet today.
That they're planning to send the Irish, including me, to Mars eventually. As a way of ultimately solving the Irish problem, which has been plaguing people for 150 years now. There's the guy up in Fairbanks doing experiments right now. He lived in a greenhouse for the last 39 days eating almost entirely only potatoes. And he emerged yesterday, actually, from what he calls Mars Base Zero. And he's part of a group of people doing an experiment about what you could grow in, like, if humans settled on another planet, whether it was the moon, or Mars, or something like that, you'd have to be able to grow vegetables, right?
Right.
And he basically feels that potatoes are the best bet. He eats them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Because, in fact, you can get the most calories out of the smallest amount of land from potatoes. And that's one of the reasons. Also, because you can grow them when it's kind of cold, and it's really cold on most of these places like Mars and stuff like that. Why? What?
I don't know. It just seemed potatoes just
Mars
unusual.
Means the kind of place to raise the kids.
Right.
See, what they're going to send us up there because they know we like potatoes. Election Day special show that we do for people who've lost their election, and which we are having again this year. We should mention once again, if you on November 2nd, if you're running for some kind of office and you get your ass beaten, you can come in here the next day and we'll give you pizza, and there'll be a really attractive psychiatrist here to help you.
Two of them.
Two attractive psychiatrists.
Yeah.
No fewer than two attractive psychiatrists.
Right.
So
you've already got that confirmed.
If you're a candidate for state house or state senate, or you know, or higher office than that, and you get your ass beaten, you just come on in here, and we'll take care of you. And what are you, the party that you're at, whatever party you're of, it doesn't make any difference. Republican, Democrat, Green Party. Oh, we don't want a lot of Green Party in here.
No, I think the maximum little, occupancy is one.
That little creep DeRosa cannot come in here and get any pizza. But pretty much everybody else.
I've noticed a developing fondness you seem to have.
Yeah.
For that particular candidate.
But even like Anaskovich, if he loses, please God, please, please, please. If Anaskovich loses, he can come in here and he can have some pizza. Because as far as I can tell, you know, he hasn't ever had a meal that wasn't paid for by the state of Connecticut. So.
Well, now.
If times are hard, we'll buy him some pizza.
Yeah.
I have to mention, my absolute favorite candidate. You know, I've discovered my absolute favorite candidate. His name is Representative Alfred Adenolfi. And he's from Cheshire, and he's an incumbent. He's running against a guy named John Kadaris. I think Kadaris might be a Deaniac. He might be one of these guys who kind of get into politics because they got into Dean. I don't know why I think I know that, but I do. Anyway, so here's the editorial from the New Haven Advocate. Mark Oppenheimer, our little friend Mark Oppenheimer, is now the New Haven Advocate, writes, "Can't say it plainly enough, Cheshire Representative Alfred Adenolfi must go. Here's a legislator who, earlier this year, when presented with a bill relating to greenhouse gas emissions, told his colleagues on the Government Administration and Elections Committee that he'd have to check with his district on that one, since so many of his constituents have greenhouses."
Did he say that seriously?
He did.
Oh, that's sad.
Here's a guy who voted against a bill that would help chemotherapy patients purchase wigs. "We'd endorse a jar of Nutella over this huckleberry, but we're fortunate that..." it's rare that newspaper endorsements say something like that. I'll repeat that one. We'd endorse a jar of Nutella over this huckleberry, but we're fortunate that Democrat John Kadaris is a solid...